This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday, Junior. We're having a lot of fun today. Also discussing a lot of important issues. Jen Psaki just had a press conference, and she went back and forth with Peter Ducey a lot. I am a big critic of Peter Ducey in the sense that I really like him, but I sometimes wish he could just
be nastier.
Yeah, I don't know if nastier is the right word, but just land the plane a little bit. Like, I think sometimes with Jen Psaki, she's very good at spinning. I think you almost have to set her up to contradict herself, which he has done in the past, but usually he gives her a little bit of room to wiggle out of things. But he was good today. They had a back and forth, and we're going to play some of these. And I have an update on the Joe Biden blame game. If you've been watching this, the Biden administration is shamelessly trying to put all of the blame for inflation on Vladimir Putin. And of course, no one likes Putin. He's evil. And it seems like an easy out for them, but it's just not true. And you won't believe, after I play some of these cuts, when I tell you who's criticizing Joe Biden, like who he's lost as far as his supporters, this will blow your mind. But let's start with Peter Ducey and Jen Psaki, and he calls her out on this blame game, cut 38.
President's statement blames the Putin price hike. Are you guys just going to start blaming Putin for everything until the midterms?
Well, we've seen the price of gas go up at least 75 cents since President Putin lined up troops on the border of Ukraine.
And last month, the statement didn't mention the Putin price hike. It mentioned inflation because of the pandemic. Why is that?
Well, Peter, last 2 years, there was a global pandemic. Everyone who's a global economists have all agreed that that has been the biggest contributor to date of inflation because of the impact on the supply chain.
I should tell Jen Psaki this. Here's a tip. Trump always used to say, the media doesn't hate me, they hate you. You know, I'm like a stand-in for this entire half of the country that they hate. And the longer he was in there and the more rabid their hatred for him became, the more it became evident that he was right, that this really was like a deep-seated anger towards Republicans, boomer rubes, deplorables, whatever you want to call them. I want to tell Jen Psaki that when she's talking to Peter Ducey like that, Peter Ducey represents a good chunk of this country who does not have faith in this administration. Whether or not Jen Psaki thinks that's valid or not, Peter Ducey represents a lot of Republicans who want answers, a lot of Republicans who are depressed with the current. I can't tell you how many people call me and say, it's so depressing turning on the news. And they still do, because Republicans do like to keep up with it. But Peter Ducey represents a lot of people out there who are not saying, thank you, Brandon. They're feeling down and out. So when she talks to him like that, and here's my point, she's talking to all of us. You know, when she condescends, when she says, here's the thing, sarcastically, there was a pandemic for the last 2 years. She thinks she's talking to him and treating him like a jerk, but she's treating us all like jerks. She thinks she's embarrassing him or she's condescendingly speaking to him, but she's talking to everyone when she does that because we all have these same questions. And so I don't think this is having the effect. I know that like a few people on Twitter will go, Psaki bomb, hashtag she owned Peter Ducey. Take that, Fox. But Twitter's not real life. Twitter is a very small section of the population. So I know that she's looking for the retweets and the likes and the praise on Twitter, but she should be a little bit more aware of how her tone, of how she's speaking to him.
Of inflation because of the impact on the supply chain. Obviously, global events impact the economy, the global economy, as well as global inflation. And the price hikes as a result that have escalated over the course of time of President Putin's further invasion of the impact on the global oil markets are, of course, having an impact.
This is hilarious. When Trump was president, if it was a natural disaster, if it was anything in the world, if you woke up with a cold, if you stubbed your toe, if anything, if you didn't put the right ingredients and your cake didn't come out right, you could blame Donald Trump for it because it was his fault. He was responsible. The buck stopped with him. There was blood on his hands at all times. No one had more blood on their hands, according to these reporters. But now that it's Biden, it's everything's global. Oh, yeah. Oh, we don't set the price. It's a global market. You know, we don't have control of this. It's a supply chain crisis. It's, you know, everyone was dealing with it. They don't have control over anything. They are the shrug your shoulders administration. Where did all the answers go, Jared? I want to know. Are they with the chips? The chip shortages? There's a chip shortage and there's an answer shortage in this White House right now. All right, let's play the next one. Cut 39.
But in terms of prices going up, we do anticipate that gas prices and energy prices will go up. That is something that the president has conveyed very clearly to the American public.
Oh,
we also believe it will
on.
Be.
Pause it there. That's good to know. So you anticipate. The anticipation is just delightful. You anticipate that these prices will not go up. Kind of like you anticipated that inflation would be transitory. What was that, a year ago? Or is it like you anticipated that the Haitian migrants were just stopping in and they weren't gonna stay here? Or is it like you anticipated that those same Haitian migrants were being whipped by reins from Border Patrol agents? A lot of your anticipating or your anticipations don't end up playing out the way you anticipated they would. In fact, I think your lack of being able to anticipate things is why I am constantly reading the words unexpected 400 times a day. Because you guys aren't very good at anticipating things. Is that fair?
That is very fair. Buffalo Bills fans anticipate a Super Bowl every year. Guess what happens? I'm just saying. You can anticipate all you want. I anticipated being the starting center for the Boston Bruins. Guess what? I can't play hockey. So, there you go.
Jared, if we have any of those fans listening right now, you have just ticked off the wrong people. We're about to get some calls on that, I think.
There are no tables here to slam people through, so just keep moving along, folks.
All right, let's play. Let's finish that. Is there more to that cut?
We also believe it will be temporary and not long-lasting.
Now, Peter Ducey, this was an easy one for him. She set him up for that by using that word. Maybe we should do that as a poll question one day. What do you prefer? How do you prefer your inflation? Temporary or transitory? It's like, how do you like your steak? You know, some people like it rare. Some people like it well done. Do you like it temporary or do you prefer it transitory? Peter Ducey caught on to this. And like I said, he speaks for all Americans and he goes, hold on a second. We've heard this before. Cut 40.
We just heard you say again that you think inflation is going to be temporary. We've heard you say that it was going to be temporary since last spring. So how long do you guys think temporary is?
Well, again, Peter, I think what we do is we rely on the assessments of the Federal Reserve and of outside economic analysts who give an assessment of how long it will last. The expectations and their assessment at this point continues to be that it will moderate by the end of the year. There's also no question that when a foreign dictator invades a foreign country and when that foreign dictator is the head of a country that is the third largest supplier of oil in the world, that is going to have an impact. And
no, wait, hold on. You're going too fast. I need the Kamala Harris version. Are you talking about the big country or the little country? Can you be more specific? Can you explain this to me like I'm five, please? By the way, she says they go to the experts, the economic experts. Are these the 17 Nobel laureates? I'm glad to know that they have a seat at the table again. It went from like 17 to 14 to 16 back to 17. Thank God. I was worried about those guys or gals. I don't know. But they've really had quite the track record so far. These people that were asking for all these predictions and these anticipations. It's been working out well. And then this last one, Jared, do we have time? Yeah, okay. So Ducey asked Saki, and we've been talking about electric vehicles. Shockingly to me, I never know what's going to strike a chord with people, and we always get full lines when we talk about EVs, as they like to call them. And so Ducey asked Saki a good question about Biden's commitment to these electric vehicles. Cut 41.
Just one more about electric vehicles. You guys are pushing electric vehicles today. This is a president who always talks about the power of our example. Mm-hmm. Does he own an electric vehicle?
Presidents of the United States don't do a lot of driving.
He's posted videos where he's revving the engine of his Corvette in Wilmington. He owns cars.
And he also has driven electric vehicles as president, as to give a model to the rest of the country.
Does he own one?
I think the president's record on this is clear, Peter. Presidents of the United States, current and when they are no longer, typically are not doing a lot of driving.
So you won't answer the question. This is the part of...
How about new?
This is the part of this administration that's so funny. Is like, every once in a while, you've just got to take the L. Like, it would be less painful if she just said, no, he doesn't. Next question. But instead, they're so insistent on not giving an inch of truth, of just doubling down on their propaganda, that she can't even admit that. And it reminds me, I hearken back here to the dog, when they wouldn't tell us about the dog biting everyone but the third rail. They wouldn't give us the information on that. And it begged the question, I believe it was Stephen Nelson from the Post who asked this, who said, if you're lying about something like this, what else are you lying about? You can't even be honest about the dog biting people at the White House. And we're supposed to trust you about the phone calls between Biden and Zelensky, about the transcripts we never get, about his call with the president of Afghanistan. We're supposed to trust all that. But you can't tell us the truth about whether or not he owns an electric vehicle. It's a yes or no question. This is where my issue with Ducey comes in. That's when you got to say yes or no. Yes or no. Yes or no. Yes or no. Yeah, I guess be a little nasty. Lord knows they were nasty enough to Trump. This administration could use a little bit of badgering. Pete, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Grace. I like your show.
Thank you.
You speak the truth. You speak the truth. I just had a couple of comments. Number one, a typical gas tanker carries 9,000 gallons of gas, a little more, but call it 9,000 gallons. So they deliver gas today, and then what happens is, the gas goes into the ground, it's paid for. The next day, the price goes up anywhere up to 28 cents a gallon. If that isn't scamming the American public, what is? We only got 3% of our fuel from Russia, and they're blaming everything on Russia. This is baloney. This country, the politicians are letting these people take advantage of people in need that can't even afford to heat their homes. And the president says, oh, there's thousands of permits out there to drill oil. So I'm going to drill oil on my lawn. Where am I going to put it? Run it down the avenue? We need refineries. We need a way to ship it there.
Yeah, we need to invest in the industry.
Yes, and he's out chasing chips. Who can afford to buy a car?
It's so many good points. And here's one other thing I wanted to add in. I don't know, Jared, if it was you who said this to me, if it was Will, but when we're getting all of this oil from other countries, as opposed to, you know, having a pipeline that goes from Canada to the United States, is that more dangerous? Like, what do you think is safer, having a bunch of oil on a steamship or through a pipeline?
Yeah, I think it was Will that was talking about that, because I don't remember us talking about that. But that was the thing about the Keystone Pipeline. So instead of the pipeline sending the oil via pipeline to the west coast of Canada, now it's in rail cars.
Right.
Also, look up who owns those rail lines. But it's Warren Buffett. He owns the rail lines. And Mitch McConnell's wife has the ship that ships the oil to China. I'm just saying. But yeah, it's like in a rail car. How is that better than a pipeline for the environment?
How is that safer if something were to go wrong? And by the way, when we
Amtrak
come back,
Joe, tell me.
He would know, right?
Explain the train.
He's a locomotive expert. Or is that Hunter? They're both locomotive experts.
Hunter's a rail expert.
Oh, God.
Joe is a locomotive expert.
You're right. You're right about that. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Obama's cars are. Someone brought up clunkers for cash. And it was perfect timing, someone on the text line, because I have a story on this for you. Stay on the lines. It's 844-500-4242. We're taking calls for the rest of the show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. 844-500-4242. We're getting some requests here to play more Kamala Harris sound. She was in Poland speaking to the press, and it did not go well. Shocker. We will get to that in a minute, but let's go to the calls here. Paul, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Grace. Just wanted to get a reality check on all this, the price of oil going up due to Russia. In the United States, this is a fact, we import, we use approximately 20 million barrels of oil a day. During the peak, we only imported about 600,000 barrels of oil per day from Russia. That's only 3%. Any system can take a 3% hit and not be affected by very much. So most of this price increase is not due to Russia. It's mostly due to Green New Deal folks that want $10-$15 a gallon gas.
Yeah, and you're not the only one who thinks
that.
How
dare you?
Because the inflation numbers came out today and it jumped to 7.9%, which is like a historic 40-year high for this Biden administration or for the United States. And Joe Biden responded by blaming high inflation rates in part on Russian sanctions. He said the costs we are imposing on Putin and his cronies are far more devastating than the costs we are facing. And Stephen Ratner responded back and said, well, no, these are February numbers and only include small Russia effect. This is Biden's inflation and he needs to own it. So that was Stephen Ratner, who, if you don't remember him, he was known as the car czar. He was the lead advisor on former President Barack Obama's task force on the auto industry. And one of the texters had brought up clunkers for cash when we said, what are people going to do with when we all buy these electric vehicles, when we all finally, all us stupid poor people decide to buy our Teslas, what are we going to do with these other vehicles? And someone said, oh, they'll come up with like a clunkers, cash for clunkers or whatever it's
called.
They're
just going to dump them in the ocean with the face masks, get another grift going.
But even Stephen Ratner, the car czar for Obama, is saying, you can't blame this on Putin, man. I mean, this inflation is you. And they do this every time. Like, okay, so they'll get the inflation report and they'll say, oh, it was Omicron. It was Omicron and the Omicron, you know, scared people. They didn't want to go back to work. And then they'll say, well, Omicron wasn't counted in this. Omicron hadn't hit the United States when these numbers were taken. Well, then they just move on to the next thing. It was big oil. It was big meat. It was the greedy oligarchs twirling their mustaches. Whatever they can come up with. It was the wind. Blame it on the rain. Whatever. I almost feel like it's like Wheel of Fortune. They just spin this giant wheel. And they go, what is it landing on today? We'll take your calls. We'll play some Kamala Harris when we return. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
The media has received their talking points, Jared. I just sent a tweet to Howie's Twitter. Listen to this. You had to know this was going to happen. This is CNN.
Gas prices have hit a record high again today, $4.25 per gallon, according to AAA, and that's up by a staggering 60 cents in just 1 week. And while there is a lot of understandable anger and frustration over the pain at the pump, there's also a lot of misinformation going around about who or what is responsible. So let's, you know, cut through the clutter first.
Oh, let me guess. I'm going to anticipate what she's going to say. Biden's not to blame, I'm sure. This is unbelievable. So not only did we go months where we weren't even living in the reality of, oh, gas prices are high. That was just something you didn't talk about at CNN. But now that they're finally admitting it, if you dare blame Joe Biden, what's going to happen? Am I going to get thrown off Twitter? I've had a lot of tweets blaming Joe Biden for this. And now I'm afraid.
You're going to get put on an FBI watch list.
Yeah, am I going to lose my job? Are they going to start doxing me because I'm spreading misinformation? You know what else was misinformation? That COVID started in a Wuhan lab, that masks don't really work. This was all misinformation that became true like 1 to 2 years later. But now, if you want to blame Joe Biden for his mishandling of everything, then you might have your facts wrong. We got to cut through some of this clutter. Kick rocks. We don't have to cut through anything. Anyone with eyes can see this. This is literally like, don't look behind the curtain. These people are propaganda artists. It's really impressive. How little shame they have blows my mind. Ed, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think we're in a dilemma with the, as far as the Biden administration, as far as their the administration itself, I think we got the low balls as far as anybody graduating from college. I think we got the worst of the worst.
Well, I would argue, I've said this before, but I stand by it. I would rather if we just had, I don't know, like people who run businesses. I don't care. I know they're all Harvard, Yale, Princeton. I know they're all Ivy Leaguers. That's not getting us very far. So why don't we get in some, I don't know, what does Joe Biden call us? Everyday Americans, regular Americans, three squares a day on the table, staring up at the ceiling fan. Why don't we get some of those people in there? Because I would take an electrician. I would take a plumber. I would take any other profession in this White House right now besides what we have going, because those people are talented. They know, they have a skill. They know what they're doing. They know how things work. I've had guys call up this show before. I've listened to Jen Psaki. I've listened to Kamala Harris try to explain the supply chain crisis and give us these crazy explanations. And Joe Biden says, you know, you're standing at a booth, Tonka trucks, at the, you wouldn't even be able to explain how the supply chain works. I've had guys call up this show who say, I'm a truck driver. And they explain it in about 4 seconds. And it makes 10 times more sense than anything that these Ivy League hacks are spitting out. We have a cut here from Ted Cruz. Jared wants to play. Go ahead, Jared.
Before Putin ever invaded Ukraine, gasoline prices in the United States had risen 48%. And their latest talking point is there's all these wonderful permits that just the oil companies, for whatever reason, don't want to drill upon. Now, I understand that the White House's talking points are written by an 18-year-old intern who's taking freshman socialism. But it would be good to have someone who's actually worked in the private sector and has some awareness of how energy is produced.
Well, that's way too much of an ask. That's never going to happen. Thanks for the recommendation, Ted Cruz, but I don't think we're going to see that. Charles, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Charles.
Grace, it's quite an honor. I really, really think you're awesome.
Thank you.
Right on to, oh, yeah. I was at a restaurant today, and I talked with the owner, and I said, look, on any given day, there's 20 people that walk through your restaurant that I would rather have in the White House and running things than what we have. Just
agree.
Like you said. But that's not why I'm calling. What I have a suggestion. I don't like to hear from the words Putin price increase. I think when we do that, we're just adopting that language, and I don't want to do that. This is the Biden price increase, and I just hate to hear those words, especially people that think the way we do. Using those words only helps them, and that's just a suggestion. Look, keep up the good work, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Charles. And what Charles is really talking about, which is an interesting conversation, I know Molly Hemingway writes about this a lot, is how the left is very good at kind of controlling the narrative and controlling the language. And language is everything. Just read 1984. You control the language, you control it all. And The left is very good at this. Charles has a point. I mean, you look at this Don't Say Gay bill. That's not what it's actually called. It's called something parental guidance or something else. But now the only thing you know it, the only thing I know it as is the Don't Say Gay bill, because the media parroted this liberal talking point, and now that's what the bill is. And then you also have, when it comes to the mainstream media, they really do. They take whatever the Biden administration tells them, and they put it out there. We just heard this woman from CNN, misinformation. You'll hear these buzzwords, you know, and then you'll start to hear them. And it's actually, it's kind of nuts how not subtle they are about it. Like, you'll hear a word one day, and then the next day you'll hear it 6 times. And then the next day you'll hear it 40 times. And then we're all supposed to accept this new reality. And that's the Putin price hike. Is, okay, first you hear it, you go, oh, that's ridiculous. They're going to run with that. Then you hear it a little bit more, and then you hear it a little bit more. And then it becomes the reality in these newsrooms. And people, maybe some people believe it. I don't think a lot of people believe it. We had a couple of requests here about, and you know what? Here's another perfect example, though, before I go to the sound. You talk about voting rights. Remember the narrative on that? Jim Crow, Jim Eagle, Jim Crow on Eagle's wings, 2.0, 3.0, whatever it was. It was racist. You were trying to suppress. Republicans want to suppress voting rights. And
this makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
We had that whole situation with the All-Star game. And that becomes the narrative, that Republicans are trying to suppress voting rights. And if you actually look at a lot of these bills, they're either requiring voter ID, or they're saying that outside groups cannot give food or drinks to people in line, a.k.a. you can't bribe people while they're standing in line to vote. This is the horror, according to Democrats, is those two things. And I want to read you this from the Washington Examiner. Election integrity. You know, we're told about this over and over again, that the right is trying to suppress votes. Well, election integrity turns white hot in all minorities favor voter ID laws. Jared, I think we need a dun-dun-dun for this, because this is going to break some Democrats' hearts. While Democrats and Republicans have different views of what election integrity means, together, 83% of likely voters believe it will be a factor in the elections for House and Senate and the 2024 presidential election. Rasmussen also found that on one key election reform issue, voter identification, support remains high. Overall, 74% of likely voters said that voter ID should be required, including 90% of Republicans and 59% of Democrats. Well, I never. This is just unacceptable. Someone tell Joe Biden so he can, you know, ruin another city's economy by pulling out a major sports event. This is horrible, horrible stuff. We got some requests from people who missed the first hour and want to hear some of these Kamala cuts. I have two favorites, Jared, so if you have any that I'm missing, please add them in. We got a specific request for the northern flank cut. Let's play cut 8, please.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies. And what is at stake at this very moment? What is at stake this very moment are some of the guiding principles around the NATO alliance.
And my other favorite was the Valley Girl talk. This is cut 9.
The UN has set up a process by which there will be a review and investigations, and we will, of course, participate as appropriate and necessary. But we all watched the television coverage of just yesterday. That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet, based on what we've just been able to see. And because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limited to what we have seen. Pregnant women going for health care, being injured by, I don't know, a missile, a bomb? In an unprovoked, unjustified war? Where a powerful country is trying to take over another country, violate its sovereignty, its territorial integrity, for the sake of what? Nothing that is justified or provoked? Absolutely, there should be an investigation. And we should all be watching.
Okay, pause it here. It's good that she wants an investigation, because I'm sure the investigation will figure this out. I have to say, every time she does that up talking and she asks a question, I think it's going to be the last one. And then she asks another one. I'm like,
you have to listen to her talk like this. You know, where everything has a question mark at the end of it, with an upward inflection at the end of every sentence.
The investigation, though, it's like, I think we're a little bit past. I'm not saying there shouldn't be an investigation, but do we need something? If I'm Zelensky, I'm like, we are moving too slow here.
We have to investigate to find out if it's a missile or a bomb or what?
Come on.
On the television?
It's just, it's scary, though. Like, Miranda Devine just tweeted out, she said, this is really unacceptable. There are high stakes. She was right. Kamala Harris was right about that. And it's pretty frightening that they're sending her to try to de-escalate anything. Just an update for everyone. The Biden administration is going to extend the federal mask mandate. If you didn't know, the federal mask mandate will be extended for another 30 days. 30 days to slow the spread. Phil, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Grace. Thanks for taking a call. I'll be quick. You know, all this talk about Putin and everything else and gas prices being this because of Putin and that because of Putin. Well, of course. And we're not going to do anything about Putin because Democrats need to have him be the center of all the blame. And if something happens to him, then they don't have that safety blanket. They have to find something else to carry their agenda. So Putin is not going anywhere, because they need him to blame everything they want to try and force and shove down our throats. This is a war on the Republicans and independents that lean to the right in the United States. It's not a war on Russia.
I think the narrative is definitely changing into, blaming everything on Putin, but I don't think voters are going to buy that. I really don't. I think that voters are very, very angry right now, but they're also very aware. I don't want to say woke, but it's like we've
awake.
We're awake. People, the 2 years of the pandemic really, really forced people to start paying attention. And I don't think this is the time where you're going to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. Maybe if it happened 4 years ago, yeah, maybe. Maybe 5 years ago, sure. But like Howie said, you don't turn this off. This stuff that Biden's talking about, people are feeling every day. So it's harder to gaslight people on things they're experiencing every single day. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who would you say is the best orator? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Nancy Pelosi?
I'm going to say Kamala Harris.
Kamala jumping up a bit to 29%. Second place, still in third place at 24%, is Joe Biden. And in lead at 48% is Nancy Pelosi.
We had a caller earlier in the show who was saying, you know, how can you criticize people for misspeaking when Trump misspoke for 4 years? And I was quick, ended that. And now I'm getting some pushback from people on social media who are saying, you should have let him talk a little bit longer. I don't think we were ever going to agree. Like, this is one of those things where I understand that Trump was also someone who could put his foot in his mouth. I do get that. But the difference was, I like Trump's policies. And also, I think there was enough coverage of any time Trump burped. You know, Trump said a word wrong and it became national news for 3 news cycles. They ran with it forever. So I think there was a saturation of criticism on that front.
This is an example of two wrongs don't make a right. Okay, great. So that guy wasn't the best speaker. Doesn't exonerate these morons from not being able to speak.
And it doesn't change the fact that the stakes right now are a lot higher because of the decisions and the policies of this administration. But I want to add something in. I love the listeners, because I just had a guy who reached out to me and said, you were rude to that guy, Jeff. I said, I didn't think I was rude. But then he said, I listen every day and I really like your show. And I just think that you should mention that on both sides, people misspeak. Of course. And I appreciate the fact that we have people who listen who don't always agree. I love that. But I have to say, as far as Trump goes, I would take Trump's fourth grade language, which, again, this is just shows you how much the media covered Trump speaking. They actually broke down, like a scientist broke down what his language was. It was the level of a fourth grader. I would take fourth grader language right now, or vocabulary or whatever it is, and low gas prices in a safer world, in a stronger southern border. I would exchange that all for Trump's fumbles and bumbles, because we're getting the fumbles and bumbles now and everything's turned to bleep. That would be my argument. I think that's fair. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, what do you have planned for the show today?
We're going to be speaking to Dan Sullivan, the senator from Alaska, about energy prices. Obviously, we'll be talking about the new inflation reports, the opportunity to what they're doing, blaming Putin for everything that happened even before the invasion. And we'll also be talking about the vote in the Massachusetts House not to cut the gas taxes, which the Republicans didn't even ask for a roll call vote, Grace. So I don't think they were really all that serious.
You don't say. I'm shocked.
I know everyone is shocked by this news, but there it is.
Well, Senator Dan Sullivan, that's a really good get, Howie, because he was on Fox the other day basically laying out that Psaki is misrepresenting how the oil industry works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's almost as big a fan of the presidential envoy for climate as you and I are.
Oh, so I didn't even play the sound of him. So you can play that for Dan Sullivan if you want.
I'm just going to let him run with it during the segment, I think.
Uh-oh, John.
He doesn't
Kerry
like Gina McCarthy.
Worried.
Gina, you know, Gina's from Boston, too.
There's a lot we have
to answer for, as always.
Yes, besides California, which is a lot bigger than Massachusetts, we have the best politicians around. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday show. See ya.